And there's intimacy on the radio, and there's naturalness on the radio that can be replicated on TV. The marvelous resurgence of radio as a political force in this country.
News-related radio programming is evolving.
There's a huge hole in our dialogue that can be filled by the synthesis of traditional radio and the freedom that comes from a live podcast. You're about to experience Cowboy State Politics live. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Cowboy State Politics Live. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, flawlessly executing the most powerful voice in Wyoming media, Cowboy State Politics, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. I've got a lot in store for you today. You know, every self-respecting broadcast expert has a stack of stuff sitting on his desk at the beginning of every show, and you never quite get to the end of it. Such is the case with Cowboy State Politics Live. All the time, I have articles left over, and I keep thinking to myself, man, I wish I would have got to that one, but there's only so much time in the broadcast day. The studio is coming along quite nicely. In fact, I bought an old radio not that long ago. It's very cool. It's from like the 1950s. It's one of those old tabletop cathedral type radios. Well, anyway, the power supply went out of it, and I took it down to, of all places, the cigar shop. Because the last time I was in the cigar shop, it's true, I do like a fine cigar every once in a while. But anyway, while I was in there smoking, I noticed that there were several old radios sitting around. So I asked him if he could repair the State Politics super old radio, and he did. So that's in the studio, and there's a couple of other things that are going in here. So the studio's coming along, but none of that has any impact on the immense quality of Cowboy State Politics. Well, we begin this thing with a guy that I have tried to resist talking about because I think he's a moron. Well, maybe he's not a moron, but he's certainly an idiot. He's certainly incapable of seeing the writing on the wall. He's tone deaf to everything that American voters are telling him. And the only reason that he got to the high office that he did is he was riding on the coattails of former President Donald Trump. Of course, I'm talking about Mike Pence. The reason why I don't want to talk about him is he's a weenie. He's always been a weenie. He is an establishment Republican that licks his finger and then holds it in the air to see which way the wind is blowing. And right now, he thinks that the wind is blowing against President Trump. Well, he should pay more attention to what normal, everyday Americans like you and me are saying and thinking about. Well, we begin with an article from Breitbart entitled Mike Pence Slams Populism. It's on the same road to ruin as progressivism. Now, I have told you over on the program that words mean things, that we don't just use at random, that there's a reason why certain words are used in the order that they are.
2 + 2 = 4, not 5 if you want it to be 5. And this is not to be discriminatory. This is to stand up for language. Words mean things.
Words mean things. And when they're used, people hear them and they interpret meaning from the words that they're used. So Mike Pence, all the time, recently, has been saying that populism is dead. And if you don't want to get elected, then don't try to be the populist. First of all, what does the word populism mean? I mean, just type it into Google. Their definition says a political approach that strives to appeal to ordinary people who feel that their concerns are disregarded by established elite groups. Sound like anybody you might recognize? Like yourself and everybody that you know? The truth is, my friends, that all of us feel like we are being disregarded by every single elite, or people that think they're elite, in favor of their political agenda. I mean, all last week I brought you the story of the Sheridan County commissioners. Okay, that's just one county in Wyoming, in a giant state, in a giant country. And yet we still have elites that think that they know better than all of us. Go to our state capitol. All you have to do is spend one day in there, and you'll hear at least a couple people say that we know better. Of course, they don't phrase it that way. They have their own jargon, but essentially that's what it means. And people are tired of it. Oh, I'm tired of it. That's why I started Cowboy State Politics, because I was sick to death of being lied to. I mean, there's lies everywhere you look. All you have to do is turn on the TV and you'll find, pretty easily actually, you'll find somebody that's lying to you. And most of it comes from the media, and definitely comes from all of these establishment politicians like Mike Pence. So in the article, it says, and I quote, and listen to this, you're going to love it. Quote, Pence argued, while conservatism in the GOP has had ideological differences with liberalism in the Democratic Party, populism is now threatening conservatism from within the GOP. Pence populism as the right's equivalent of progressivism on the left, with both being different strains of the same ideology. So essentially, what he's telling you is that because you, the normal person, look at the world in terms of your pocketbook and your family and how you can provide for them, that somehow is the same political ideology, radical leftist Marxists. Do you think that that's true? Does that bear any resemblance to reality? Absolutely, it doesn't. Now, here's the really important quote. Those ideologies are fellow travelers on the same road to ruin, he contended, before noting that some of America's previous left-leaning populist movements. Now, there's no denying that the left has their own brand of, I mean, they use it every single day. But that's not the populism that Mike Pence is referring to. He is referring to grassroots Republicans. And I don't use Republicans in quotation marks. I mean people that are Republicans, that think that the party platform means something. And they all go to convention and they go to their county meeting. They vote on these things because they matter. And just think about the things that are in the Republican Party platform. The very first one is life, that we believe in life from birth, from conception to natural death. That's it. Most people, and I know a lot of you are going to find this hard to believe, but most people believe that life is sacred. Now, if you talk to establishment Republicans like Mike Pence, well, they're not going to go so far as to agree with the planks in the party platform. Things like free trade and freedom and liberty and the right to execute your life in the way that you see fit. Establishment Republicans have become the same as a lot of the Democrats. I mean, it's higher taxes, higher spending, government control, providing for citizens because, and the only reason you would do that is if you think that they are incapable of providing for themselves. But Pence goes on. Here we go again. The Republican populists would abandon American leadership on the world stage, embracing a posture of appeasement in the face of rising threats to freedom. Republican populists would blatantly erode our constitutional norms. End quote. So do you really think that the people that feel that their concerns are being disregarded would abandon American leadership on the world stage? No, absolutely they wouldn't. Most people believe that America still is, despite all of our faults and all the crappy stuff that we're doing, that we still are the shining city on the hill. Most people believe that. Most people believe in the idea of America, that you have the right to execute your life in any way that you see fit. Believe in freedom and rights and equality and all of those things. We're not the type of folks that are going to disregard our constitutional norms just because Mike Pence says so. I mean, this guy is so off base with average, everyday Americans that it's not even funny. And he thinks that he's going to defeat Donald Trump. Now I do have some arguments with Donald, and I've talked about them on the program. One of which is he put out a Truth Social post, and it was right when all of the election interference, of course, we already knew that the Democrats interfered in the election, but he put out a post on Truth Social, and I'm going to read it to you. Quote, and this is from Donald Trump's account on Truth Social. Quote, so with the revelation of massive and widespread fraud and deception in working closely with big tech companies, the DNC and the Democrat Party, do you throw the presidential election results of 2020 out and declare the rightful winner, or do you have a new election? And here's the really disappointing part. A massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Our great founders did not want and would not condone false and fraudulent elections. Okay, I am never going to agree with anybody that says that we should disregard the Constitution. And, you know, listening to Donald Trump for the last 6 years or so, I don't think that he really believes that. But he's the guy that put out a post that says that. When you're looking at all of these politicians that are running for office in the 2024 election, I think you need to take a really hard look at exactly what they're saying, because words mean things. Word choice is very important. People don't choose words at random. We choose them on purpose. Now, of course, every once in a while, you have a slip of the tongue and you say the wrong word or use it in the wrong way. But most of us almost immediately correct ourselves. So when you're looking at all of these politicians, Mike Pence, Donald Trump, all of them, it doesn't matter, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, or any of them, listen to the words that they use, because they use them on purpose. And this article that I just referenced in Breitbart is a clear example of why you shouldn't vote for Mike Pence, why nobody should vote for Mike Pence. I mean, if you value your liberty and your freedom and your rights, and your pocketbook, you shouldn't vote for this guy. I mean, he's saying that the things that you believe in are exactly akin to the ideology of the left. And that's just not true, guys. It's not true at all. I know I don't look at the world like that. I mean, most everyday Americans, they're focused on going to work, getting their paycheck, being able to pay the rent or the mortgage and put food on the table. That's what we're concerned about. You know, a lot of us see what's happening on the left with all of this pornography in schools and the gender stuff and all of that as completely contrary to everything that we believe. It's only because the media has this giant trumpet that's trying to believe that these things are in line with our Constitution and our way of life. But the truth is, they're not. And so, again, when you see people like Mike Pence or even Donald Trump, I just read you one of his posts, you need to seriously question what they're saying. What is it that they're actually meaning? So on yesterday's program, actually for the last week, I've been telling you that I had a fantastic interview with Blaze TV host Chad Prather. And I'm telling you, my friends, that thing was a ton of fun. So here's a little soundbite from my interview with Chad Prather. Check this out.
You mentioned that you like to use humor to make a political point. I just have to ask, I saw this picture on your Twitter feed, Dylan Mulvaney, man, only in 2023 could we praise a guy pretending to be a woman?
Go. Yeah. You know, people often tell me, they're like, stop giving this guy attention. And I'm like, he's the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, it's such a parody of itself. It's a sad parody of itself. It really is, because there's a part of me that feels sorry for this guy. The part of me of saying, hey, this guy stepped into a whirlwind that I don't think he was ready for. I don't think he's transgender. I think he's transgender. I think he jumped to become TikTok famous, and he reaped the wealth that came from that. And I think I make a pretty good argument as to why he's not.
Whoa, right? There's way where that comes from. Like I said, the entire interview is fantastic, and I'm going to play it for you during Weekend Update. Now, Chad is going to be in Casper on September 22nd. He's going to be at the Beacon Club. You can get tickets to it if you go to his website, Watch Chad. I think they're $30 a piece. They're really affordable. But I'm telling you guys, this Chad Prather is a funny, funny guy. He uses humor to make political points. And I mean, he's really good at it. The time I spent with him at the Blaze studio in Dallas, the stuff we were talking about before his broadcast was a heck of a lot funnier than we talked about during his show. And a lot of that was pretty entertaining. So if you want to see Chad in person, go to watchchad.com and get a ticket to his September 22nd show down in Casper at the Beacon. After the break, I'm going to keep going down the news, and there's a whole bunch of different stuff that we're going to talk about. And the first one is going to be all of this stuff about the 14th Amendment. There's some stuff we need to talk about. It's not being interpreted the way that it's meant in the Constitution, and we have in historical context. So we'll do that after the break. But first, an absolutely obscene profit timeout. We'll get back to the program in just a second, but first, some completely egregious self-aggrandizement. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, really any of them work, but the easiest way is just to go to the site, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you're dumber than a box of rocks, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself, just like you should have been doing before you decided to run for office. New episodes of the program are published every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday morning. And don't forget about the Thursday live episode that begins every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. You know, the show you're listening to right now. You can find the link at cowboystatepolitics.com or on the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Have you been looking for a new place to advertise your business? Well, I'd suggest advertising on this program, Cowboy State Politics. It's Wyoming's most listened to podcast. Now, the difference between advertising on the radio and on a podcast is most people just have the radio playing in the background, not actively listening to your message. People who download a podcast are there to listen to the whole thing, so you can be sure that your message will be heard. I have a statewide platform, and no one is going to beat my advertising rates. Shoot me a message. The address is david@cowboystatepolitics.com. I would love to get that conversation started with you. And now, back to the program. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, David Iverson, flawlessly executing what evidently I was born to do, to paraphrase the Maharishi, of course, though I didn't really know it for the first 40 or so years. But like I say, better late than never, I guess. From The Blaze, in an article entitled "Liberal Group Files Lawsuit in Colorado to Keep Trump Off the GOP Primary Ballot, Any Future Election Ballot." Now, I'm sure everybody has heard this whole shtick, that they're trying desperately to find a way to just prevent Trump from being on the ballot. Now, before we get into the article, let's discuss why. Because they know that President Trump has a very, very good chance of winning, despite all of these legal troubles that they've thrown at him, most of which, almost all of which, are complete and total bullcrap. Actually, all of them are total bullcrap. There's no other America that's being treated the same way that Donald Trump is. And I mean, if you take a step and just look at all of the indictments they've thrown at different states and the federal government and all of it, I mean, it's truly amazing. I mean, we are truly witnessing something that has never happened in the history of our country. No, I mean, we've prosecuted politicians before for graft and bribery. And if you look at the Wyoming Constitution, there's several passages that talk about bribery. And when our state first started, we talk about corruption in other places. Wyoming, at the beginning of our statehood, we had a corner on the market when it comes to corruption. That's why all of those passages in the Wyoming Constitution about bribery are in there. Listen to this one. So before statehood, ballots were literally bought and sold on the side of the railroad tracks. I would say on the street, but most of the time there, it was on the railroad tracks. You see, the railroad, well, I mean, it still is big in Wyoming, but nowhere as big as it was, pre-1890. And these railroad companies, they would put out basically like a voter's guide. And to get your name on their voter's guide, well, of course, you had to pay the railroad. And so, and you know, that in and of itself is not such a deal. There's all sorts of groups that put out voter's guides for you. You know, I mean, I'm part of a PAC that put out a voter's guide in the last election. So, I mean, that is completely, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, these voter's guides were a little bit different because they were allowed to be used as ballots. That's right. You could take the private voter's guide that was printed by the road, walk into a polling location and use it as a ballot. Yeah. So the people that didn't pay the railroad, yeah, their names weren't on it. So what I'm telling you is, like, Wyoming has a big history of political corruption, and a lot of those people got prosecuted. So, you know, prosecuting politicians for wrongdoing, I mean, that's something that all of us should be in favor of. And, you know, by and large, big picture, America has a pretty good track record of doing that. But Donald Trump is not, in my opinion, is not among the corrupt politicians. They're trying to make him into a corrupt politician, but I don't think that he's corrupt. So this article from The Blaze, and let me just read you the couple opening paragraphs of it. Quote, a liberal activist group based in Washington, D.C. that want to, quote, shore up our democracy against attacks is working to keep President Joe Biden's top rival off the ballot in Colorado for the 2024 election. And listen to the name of this group, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, a group that has been called a lapdog to left-leaning politicians with a name like that. I mean, you just have to assume. And by the way, anytime you run into a group that has a flowery sounding name or it sounds really good, it's almost exclusively, I would say 99% of the time, a product of the left. But I digress. They've long sought to hamstring former President Donald Trump since 2016. They filed a lawsuit Wednesday in Denver District Court on behalf of six purported Republican. That word purported is important because all these people claim to be Republicans. Affiliated Colorado voters. The suit demands that Trump be removed from the GOP ballot and any future election ballot for supposedly having disqualified himself from public office by violating Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. So it kind of begs the question, what exactly does Section 3 of the 14th Amendment say? Well, it just so happens I have it in my deft little fingers. Here we go. Quote, no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of or president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state, having previously taken an oath of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as any member of the state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to enemies thereof. But Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each house, remove such a disability. Well, you have a lot of people on the left saying, well, Trump is guilty of insurrection. Well, that's not true. Nobody has been charged with insurrection as it relates to January 6th, or, I don't know, in the last 50 years. Nobody has been charged with treason. Nobody has been charged with any of those things, not the least of which is President Donald Trump. So what exactly does the Constitution mean here? Well, the 14th Amendment was passed in 1868, right after the Civil War. And at the time, though, Abraham Lincoln had freed all of the slaves, at least on paper, Southern states, the ones that had seceded from the Union, were passing laws to unofficially, and I mean, it gets kind of complicated, but they were passing a lot of laws to pretty much keep African Americans in the same social stature as they were before. So the 14th Amendment was passed, and a lot of it, and a lot of the rest of the 14th Amendment deals with civil rights. So it was to prevent people, Robert E. Lee, from running for office. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think that Robert E. Lee's statue is at multiple universities in the northern United States, in the southern United States, and all across the country? Why would we have a statue of the commander of the Southern Army on a college campus? Why would we do that? Well, it's because Robert E. Lee was very popular even after the Civil War. He devoted the rest of his life to public education. And so that's why a lot of universities have his statue on campus. So Robert E. Lee, very, very popular after even after the Civil War. So the 14th Amendment was passed so that the main figures, the still very popular figures that were part of Southern states that had seceded from the Union, it was to prevent them from running for public office so that they could try to institute slavery again. That's the whole purpose of the 14th of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Actual insurrection, as in seceding from the Union, as in trying to defeat the United States. Now, anyone who says that January 6th was an actual insurrection is quite frankly out of their mind, or they're completely about the whole affair. If it was an insurrection, it was the most poorly armed, poorly executed, poorly planned, poorly staffed insurrection in the history of the world. There was no way that those folks were going to be successful, nor were they trying to overthrow the United States. Now, they were charged with other crimes, you know, being on restricted grounds and all of that, which is a lot of the January 6th defendants are being charged with, but it's not an insurrection. And anybody that claims that it is, like I said, is either woefully ignorant or completely out of their mind. Words mean things. So when about insurrection or giving aid and comfort to enemies of the United States, we have to be very careful about what those words mean. Because, like Rush said, 2 + 2 = 4, not 5, if you want it to be 5. Moving on. On yesterday's installment of the program, I brought you the story of the Transportation Committee. Now, they've been talking about jacking up your taxes once again, this time through a diesel tax. Now, talking about like diesel taxes and Transportation Committee as a whole is generally not that interesting. But it's what happened there is really, really important. And you have to understand the duplicity of these folks that are in power in Cheyenne. They're going to try to tax you in any way that's possible. And they're going to try to do it. And my favorite audio sound bites, and I looked for it this morning, and I'll have to dig it up, but I couldn't find it this morning, is Representative Jerry Obermueller when he said, it's okay to tax people if they don't know about it. So all of these efforts to increase your taxes are trying to be executed under the guise of making sure that you don't know about it. So I've got a couple of sound bites here just to fill you in on what was happening at the Transportation Committee. And we'll do that after the bottom of the hour break. Yeah, it's still summer, but hunting season is not that far away, and it's time for you to start gearing up for it. I know that's going to make the wife extraordinarily happy, but it has to be done. One of the best things that you can put in your hunting pack, a pair of really warm socks. And the best socks that I have ever worn are made by the Buffalo Wool Company. Most of the time, the first thing to get cold on my body are my feet. And being a diabetic like I am, I'm really, really sensitive to it. I've tried Pendleton wool socks and just about every kind of wool sock that you could possibly imagine. and nothing compares to these Buffalo Wool Company socks. To get you a pair, go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you are not going to be disappointed. Wyoming is one of the most sought-after places to live. I talk about it all the time on this program. There's a lot of people that want to move to our great state. There's beautiful mountain vistas all the way from Sheridan to Saratoga and from Hewlett all the way to Jackson. It's an amazing place, and there's a ton of people that are moving here. If you're buying or selling, you need a real estate agent with experience. The best person to talk to is Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. Last year, she sold $25 million worth of property all across the state of Wyoming, from small residential properties all the way up to giant ranches. She's lived in Jackson for 20 years and has her fingers on the pulse of the real estate market all across the state of Wyoming. So it doesn't matter what type of property you're looking for or if you're thinking about selling, give Rebecca a call, 307-699-3519. That's Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. Welcome back to the program. David Iverson behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone. Cowboy State Politics is Wyoming's listened to podcast. And I don't know if you know this or not, but as far as podcasts go, if you have 25 downloads per episode per day, I guess we should say per day, then you're in the top 50% of podcasts in the world. Not a very high bar. Now, if you have, let's say, 100 a day, well, then you're in the top 25%. And if you have 200 downloads a day, well, now we're getting up there. You're in the top 10%. But Cowboy State Politics regularly has over 500 downloads a day, meaning that this program is the most powerful podcast in Wyoming. And not to be too immodest, it is Wyoming's conservative voice. So before the break, I was telling you about the Transportation Committee and how there was a lot of really important stuff that happened there. Now, our pal, Ken Pendergraft, Representative Ken Pendergraft, is on the Transportation Committee. And so that's where we're going to start with our sound bites. So we'll start with Ken, and then I've got a couple of other ones. I think that you're going to be fascinated to hear what these people actually say. So here's Representative Pendergraft.
So now the next strategy has to be to interject complexity. Yes, there is some complexity.
Okay, hold on just a second. This wasn't Ken at the committee meeting. After he returned home, he did a program on his podcast called The Ramble Room. Now, if you want to get an inside view of what's happening in at least the committees that Ken is on, you should really listen to his show. But he's explaining how a lot of these representatives take something that is super simple, that is raising your taxes, and they make it so incomprehensible that there's no way that you're going to figure out. So here, we'll continue on.
Complexity in this. But I think that one of the most dangerous tactics, and I've heard it expressed many times in many places, when people object on fundamental basic grounds to a tax increase or to any other thing that the legislature does, the pat answer is to go to, well, this is a very, very complex issue. And while there is some truth in that argument, it gets a little convoluted, it gets a little blown out of proportion. And so the next phase of this is an example of that. We get into how do tax increases affect the market, and part of that, you'd be able to understand a little bit about how interstate taxes are collected. What they've done, and there's wisdom in it. There really is. What they've done is it doesn't really matter where you buy fuel. It matters where you drove. And so when you buy fuel, you pay whatever the...
Now, he's talking specifically about diesel here, and you're going to hear him talk about the log that truckers keep. That's what he's referring to. He's not referring to your car when you put fuel in it and you drive to Casper or whatever.
cost is. And then as you drive through different places, you have to submit a log. And then that log is analyzed, and the taxes are distributed according to how many miles you drove in different states. So it does have an effect of leveling out the taxes across the various states, and there is value and there's integrity.
Okay, well, you get the point here. So he's saying that when they increase the diesel taxes, that the effect really is kind of broadened out across all of the states. And I mean, that's true, but it still raises the price at the pump. You can't completely minimize all of these taxes when they increase it. If you've been paying attention to Wyoming politics for any length of time, a few years ago, five, maybe 6 years ago, Mike Tax McMadden, who used to be my representative, he wanted to increase the diesel tax by 10 cents a gallon. And there was this giant uproar because, I mean, you're increasing the price of fuel, which right now, I mean, hardly any of us can afford to take a big long trip because, you know, last I looked yesterday, fuel is over $4 a gallon in Buffalo, Wyoming. So, I mean, this is a big deal and it affects you in your pocketbook directly. I mean, fuel is one of the main things that you buy on, you know, a daily or weekly basis. So even though they say that this issue is super, super complex, it's really not. It's easy. They're raising your taxes and it's going to hit you in the pocketbook. That's really all you need to know about this. Well, this next piece of sound is from the director of the Wyoming Department of Transportation, a guy named Westby. Here we go.
Conceptually, I totally understand the question, and I think what I can share with you folks actually came from a former member of the body, and he was an
economist. He's talking about Mike Madden.
And smart guy. And what he noted and realized with the 10.
Hold on. He says he's a smart guy, but he's really not. Every single year that Mike Madden was in the legislature, he either sponsored or co-sponsored a bill that would dramatically increase your taxes. That's why I call him Mike Tax McMadden. Let's continue.
10-cent gas increase is that you increase the gas tax by 10 cents. You don't see that at the pump. You see some fraction of that. The other thing to keep in mind is that the fuel is a market-driven, it's a commodity. It's market-driven. So it's not collected at the pump. So it's not like it's an add-on to the receipt that you get. It is,
bullcrap. It is
baked into the overall cost of the fuel. And so what this found the last time this happened,
I can't take any more of this. I mean, it's more bureaucratic speak saying that we should just go ahead and raise taxes. Ah, excuse me, I had to sneeze there. I'm allergic to bullcrap coming out of politicians' mouths. Well, the second to last soundbite I'm going to play for you is from Representative Scott Smith, and he totally nails exactly the problem with their proposed tax increase. Here's Scott Smith.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you guys do a lot of studies on how much impact you guys would receive per penny and so forth. Have you done how much of an impact it would have on consumers that you would deal with? So like diesel, it seems like every product that we deal with is on trucks multiple times. So then would that also increase inflation?
Remember that inflation was the key problem that was brought out at the beginning of this.
Yep, and there's Ken again.
When you increase tax on diesel fuel, you affect everything. And Scott very accurately explains this.
To go from the farm to the grain bin, from the grain bin to the supplier to who's producing a product, back to a distribution center, back to the final retail. Every product we have, whether we're wearing it or consuming it in one way or another, hits a truck probably at least 7 to 12 times or more. And so the prices of everything across the state, I feel, would just increase greatly.
Representative Smith.
Thank you.
He's absolutely right that, you know, all of these people down in Cheyenne, their first go-to argument is, well, this is a really complex issue. And, you know, you simpletons, you're really not going to understand it. So you just let us handle all of it. Well, it's not that complicated at all. Like Representative Smith explained, the end result is an increase in prices in everything. And, you know, it's not complicated. It's not hard. Everybody completely understands when taxes go up or when the price of any goods go up. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. Now, this last piece of sound is from Senator Bonehead, Brian Boner from Convert. Now, this guy shouldn't be allowed anywhere near your taxes or your finances. And just listen to him and you'll understand why.
A close second to the easy button is, a little bit, it'd be less precise. So I'll give you that. But just overall reduction in registration fees coupled with an increase in the fuel tax. And then we'd have to get in that discussion. Okay. It would probably just be focused on that state registration fee, which is, I think the lowest one is for school buses is $25 a year, the registration fees, which means we have a limited ability to raise revenue. Keeping the idea that, you know, the whole goal here is to capture that user fee from out-of-state users who are not really, paying, I guess, their fair share, if you will. And so we just have to.
What is their fair share? What is it that they're not paying, Bonehead? Now, you hear this phrase come from liberals all the time. Well, everybody needs to pay their fair share. People aren't paying their fair share. You need to pay your fair share. The truth is, everybody is already paying their fair share, Bonehead. Now, the reason I played that for you is he's intentionally trying to convolute the matter. He's trying to confuse you. Now, their proposal was to increase the tax on diesel and then give you a break on your register. Well, actually, the original plan was to give you a rebate on your vehicle registration, which means you would have to take an extra step in order to get that rebate. And as we learned from the property tax rebate program, most people didn't even apply for it. So the state didn't have to pay out any money. In fact, the first year that rebate program was instituted, hardly anybody applied for it. And even this past year, of course, there were more people applied for, but nowhere near the amount that would cover how much money they actually stole from you. So then Bonehead says, well, we're going to reduce the license fees, the registration fees. And he claims that that's going to make his proposal revenue neutral. Well, if it's revenue neutral, why are they doing it in the first place? The truth is, it's not going to be revenue neutral at all. In fact, it's going to be revenue generating. In other words, as the great scholar of the Wyoming House of Representatives put it, Bill Henderson.
Whoa, I think you got to stop and take a look at what you're doing here. I speak against this because it kind of reminds me of that fairy tale Cinderella.
That's exactly what it is. It's one giant fairy tale. So the Transportation Committee, in the end, they laid the bill back, which doesn't mean that the bill is dead at all. In fact, it means that they're going to take up at the next meeting. Now, the other thing that you need to be aware of, and if you watch the video of this committee meeting, it's horribly boring, and hopefully you've gotten enough information on the program today about it that you don't have to go back and watch it. But one of the striking things is there are no members of the public that testified on this diesel tax. Not one of them. All of the people that testified were from agencies, associations, organizations. And while a couple of them said, well, generally we're against taxes, but this one's not that onerous. In other words, everybody who testified in favor of this proposal. So, you know, what you should do is watch the wildledge.gov site and figure out when the next time the people are going to be meeting and make sure you show up. I mean, it's definitely worth taking an afternoon off work or a morning off work or whenever they're going to meet and making sure your voice is heard, because it's certainly not being heard in the legislature. So on yesterday's program, I brought you another story, and it was kind of related to the taxes, It was specifically referring to Senate President Ogden Driscoll and Speaker of the House, Albert Sommers. And both of them have been yelling at the top of their lungs how they saved $1.4 billion, 1.4, 1.5, whatever it was. It's still a lot of money. And they're saying, look at us. Aren't we conservative? First of all, when they say the word conservative, you should immediately be skeptical, because I'm pretty sure every time they try to say that word, they barf in their mouth. But when they do, it means that they're lying to you, because at least those two guys are the best thing from a conservative that you could possibly ever imagine. So on yesterday's program, I brought you what I consider to be the best argument against them. And so I'm just going to play you a soundbite from yesterday's program, and then we'll talk about it. Or you could be the two highest ranking members of the Wyoming legislature and write an op-ed in the Cowpie that says that we saved in this past legislative session $1.5 billion. That's billion with a B. So there was plenty of cash floating around last January and February. If you didn't know, that's when our legislature meets, except for this year when they're only going to meet in February. So anyhow, they had $1.5 billion floating around. And you can't tell me that they didn't know that YDOT allegedly needed more money. Now, we can get to whether or not they actually need more money later on in the program. So let's just say that you have $1.5 billion in spare change rattling around the Wyoming Capitol. And you know that you've got road problems if, for no other reason, you had to travel I-25 to get to Cheyenne. Never mind that maintenance of transportation is one of the main functions of government. Why wouldn't you take a small percentage of that giant pile of cash and fix the problems on the roads? Any of us would. If we've got a problem, a giant hole in a roof, and we've got the cash to fix it, even if we don't have the cash to fix it, we find a way to repair it. The roads for the government are no different. Don't forget that during this past legislative session, hundreds of millions of dollars to groups like the Wyoming Arts and Humanities Council. They've got so much extra money that, frankly, they don't know what to do with it. So that they can give hundreds of millions to groups that have nothing to do with the essential functions of government. And after all of that spending, they still had enough left over to put $1.5 billion in the bank. But somehow, in the middle of all of this funding frenzy, they forgot to take care of the roads. Really? Yeah. Really? They forgot? It's so unbelievable, it's not even funny. But think about it. So they're running around the state saying, look at us, we're conservative. We saved $1.4 billion and we put it in the bank. Only conservatives save money. Well, conservatives also spend things that are important. At another point in yesterday's program, I told you about my 1996 Toyota. Thing runs like a top. Do you know why? Because I take care of it. Because I do it. I go ahead and fix it. It gets a pretty regular oil change. It's 27 years old. It still gets 40 miles to the gallon. Now, it does use a little bit of oil, like a quart every couple thousand miles or so. But the reason it's still in good shape and I can take it and drive from Bighorns all the way to Cheyenne and not even worry about it is I take care of it. I conserve what I already have. And that is something that conservatives always do. Now, the other thing that these two jokers, Redcoat Albert Sommers and Redcoat Ogden Driscoll, tell you all the time is, you know, conservatives, they don't really know how to govern. That's why you have to keep us in power. All right, fine. If that's the truth, then why is YDOT short of cash to fix all the roads? Now, first of all, YDOT has plenty of money and they're completely mismanaged. And it's that whole organization needs an overhaul. But let's just grant it for the moment that they do need $400 million. They don't, but we'll just grant that they do. Why didn't Ogden Driscoll and Albert Sommers recognize that as an important need? Why didn't they figure out that we could, you know, guys, we could fully fund YDOT? And then we could tell people, look at us, look at how well we govern the state. We were able to fully fund YDOT and save $1.1 billion. But they didn't do that. They put it all in the bank, which means that they don't have a clue how to govern or they don't give a crap about the roads. Probably both of those are true. So to counter this narrative, Several members of the Wyoming Freedom Caucus have started to push back on them. Now, the favorite attack from all of these redcoats is to write a completely misleading and, in some cases, absolutely untrue op-ed and publish it in the cow pie. Interesting that they would choose the cow pie to publish their op-ed, since most of what comes out of their mouth is bull crap anyway. But the conservatives have started to fight back. And coming up after the final break, I've got a couple of articles that we're going to talk about what actually happened in this last legislative session. And they do a good job of explaining how the redcoats are actually lying about it. So we'll do that after the last break. We'll finish up the program in just a second, but first, one more absolutely obscene profit timeout. Welcome to Cowboy State Politics Lessons in Self-Serving Gentlemanly Conduct. Lesson number one, the salon. Now, gentlemen, we all know that our better halves like their hair to look just right. And let's be honest, it helps us out too. We do like looking at attractive ladies. Now, the best place that that wife of yours can go to is to the Bombshell Studio in Sheridan. Christine Sturdivant is the only Redken specialist in Sheridan. So if your better half needs a new do or she just wants a touch-up on the one that she has, call Christine Sturdivant. Her phone number is 307-752-4844. That's the Bombshell Studio. This has been Cowboy State Politics, Self-Serving Lessons in Gentlemanly Conduct. Do you like hot wings? Yeah, me too. In fact, I'm obsessed with them. And the best hot wings in the state of Wyoming are from the Wing It food truck. They travel around the state, going from town to town. All you have to do is go to their Facebook page, the Wing It food truck, or go to cowboystatepolitics.com and look underneath the sponsors tab, and you'll find their schedule there. You know, I personally recommend the garlic parmesan wings. They're absolutely amazing, but they've got several other different flavors, not just hot wings or garlic parmesan. You'll find what you've been missing this entire time. So go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com, look underneath the sponsors tab, and that way, you can plan your entire week around where the Wing It food truck is going to be. I get it. Actual summer was really short in Wyoming. And we all know what that means. Fall is on the way. And with it comes some pretty unpredictable temperatures. You need to be prepared for all. Sometimes we have all four seasons in the same week. One of the best ways that you can do that is to get a nice warm hat from New Trend Hats. They have a wide variety of hats for both men and women, and they're sure to keep those ears of yours nice and warm. So go to their website, newtrendhats.com, and make sure you're prepared for whatever is coming. And now, the conclusion to the program. Welcome back. David Iverson behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone, the most powerful voice in Wyoming media. From the cow pie, in a guest column entitled "The Uniparty Doesn't Share Our Priorities." Well, first of all, I really hate that term uniparty. I think it's clunky. I don't think it's descriptive. And it's not even fun to say. Redcoat. Now, that's a fun term to say. But anyway, so this is a column from Representative Bill Allemand. Bill is he's a representative from House District 58 down in Natrona County. So let me just quote like what I think is the most important part of his op-ed. Quote, "It seems that the uniparty is starting," and by uniparty, he means the 31 redcoats and the Democrats, which makes 36 representatives there in the House of Representatives. Anyway, here goes. "It seems that the uniparty is starting to realize that their ideas are not very popular with the people of Wyoming. That's why they have resorted to lies. One of their lies is about my bill, House Bill 116. It would have prevented China, Russia, and other state sponsors of terror from owning agricultural land within the state of Wyoming." I don't know about you, but that sounds like a heck of a good idea to me. Why the heck would we want to allow somebody who actively supports terrorism to buy farmland in Wyoming? Doesn't make any sense. Alamand continues, each of Wyoming's neighboring states has already taken this step, excluding liberal Colorado. In an attempt to kill my bill without having to publicly vote no on it, Uniparty member Barry Crago, unfortunately my representative, I lovingly call him Poison Barry. Here you're about to find out. Uniparty member Barry Crago added an unnecessary appropriation of $5 million to it, sending the bill to the Appropriations Committee, the Uniparty's favorite place to kill bills. There, the Uniparty Committee did just as it was set up to do. They added a $100 million appropriation to my bill for no reason, sending it into the dustbin without ever having to vote on its merits. They do this because they don't want to vote no on it, and they know you don't want them to find out. So the reason why I call Barry Crago Poisonberry is adding an amendment to a bill that is unpalatable is called a poison pill, ergo Poisonberry. So the reason why they killed that bill, well, first of all, I mean, obviously they want state sponsors of terror to be able to purchase land in Wyoming, which basically, I mean, that tells you all you need to know about these people, that none of them are acting in your best interest, because if they were, they would have voted for that bill in a heartbeat. It didn't need all that added to it. It didn't need an appropriation at all. In fact, the only thing it did need is for them to vote yes on it and the governor to sign it. There was no necessary money in it, but they added to it because they know that conservatives don't like to vote for things that have unnecessary cash on them. And that's why they do it. Now, Representative Jeanette Ward wrote a similar op-ed in the Cowpie, but this one is about House Bill 66. Remember, House Bill 66 is the one that mask and max vaccine mandates. And again, Poisonberry Crago added the largest amendment, the largest dollar amendment to any bill in Wyoming history, to the amount of $840 million. $840 million. And his reasoning for doing this, at least what he said on the floor, is, well, if we do this, the federal government is going to yank all of our Medicaid and Medicaid funding. And that amounts to about $1 billion in Wyoming. The truth is, 11 other states have passed similar legislation, and none of that has happened. Poisonberry added a poison pill, Bill 66, because he just didn't want to have to vote no on it for no reason. He wanted to vote no on the appropriation. But here's what Representative Ward had to say, and I quote, recently, the CDC revealed that over 99% of COVID-19-related deaths were not primarily caused by COVID-19. A study from the NIH, the National Institute, has revealed that some masks mandated during the so-called pandemic expose wearers to toxic levels of cancer-causing chemicals. A few days ago, the CDC removed COVID-19 vaccine injury data from the website. Gee, I wonder why they did that. Despite all of this information, rumors are swirling about a return to mandates and lockdowns. Will the Uniparty, and I'm skipping a paragraph or two here, will the Uniparty in Wyoming protect us from lockdowns and mandates should they happen again? An examination of one's prior behavior can often provide a reliable indication of future behavior. In 2021, while Wyoming was still subject to draconian powers invoked by Governor Gordon under his COVID-19 emergency declaration, the Uniparty refused to enact a single piece of legislation to protect we the people from vaccine and mask mandates. The reason? The Uniparty's addiction to federal funds. One member was transparent enough to argue that Wyoming can't prohibit vaccine mandates because we will lose federal dollars. Earlier this year, I introduced a bill to prohibit vaccine and mask mandates in another attempt to protect Wyomingites from future unconstitutional attempts to strip away our health freedom. Now, of course, I already told you what the end result of Representative Ward's bill was. So my point in telling you all of this, and, you know, you can go to the both of these op-eds are on the Cowpie, but my reason for telling you all of this is to point out that there is an alternate point of view, as if you didn't already know that, that the Redcoats, specifically Albert and Ogden, want you to believe
that, you know, they are the conservative ones and they are the ones that saved all of this money. But the truth is, my friends, that conservatives will vote for things that increase people's freedom, that don't impact their pocketbook, that take care of the state, you know, maintenance and, you know, if you're talking about roads or whatever, but they will also vote to protect people's freedoms, like your freedom, not to wear a stupid diaper on your face. So anytime you read one of these idiotic op-eds from any member of the Redcoats, and it's pretty easy to pick them out because all of them go after the Freedom Caucus and say that, you know, they attack them in one way or the other. And that's your first indication that, you know, a lot of their op-ed is bullcrap. Because they're in argumentation, it's called hedging your argument. You're saying, well, you know, if you don't believe that first argument, take a look at this. You'll agree with this one. And so that's exactly what they're doing. They're saying, look at us. We're conservative. We saved $1.5 billion. And if you don't believe that, then evil Freedom Caucus. Well, that's just not the case, my friends. Look at their voting records. Find out how these people vote. I mean, there's a number of sites that are available that show you exactly how these people vote. And, you know, if you're into statistics and just the sheer numbers behind it, the best one, and I think the most unbalanced one, is Evidence-Based Wyoming. All that site does is it tracks how often somebody votes with Democrats and how often somebody votes with the Republicans. That's it. There's no ideological judgment in the matter. It's just straight numbers. And I mean, it paints a pretty bad picture for all of these redcoats. The 31 quote unquote Republicans and their pals, the five Democrats in the House. So that'll about do it for today's installment of the program. What do you know? I didn't get through the entire list. Hey, you know what? Actually, we're going to go a little bit long today because there's two things that I want to point out to you, and I think that they're really important. The first one, so thanks for sticking with me. We'll just go a few longer. You probably have a safe in your house somewhere, don't you? Most people buy a Liberty safe because they're advertised as the most secure safe on the planet. But listen to this. This is from The Blaze this morning. Liberty safe blasted over admission that it voluntarily gave the FBI the access code to a January 6th protester's gun. So in other words, what happened is the FBI asked Liberty safe to give them full access to somebody's personal safe. Doesn't seem like it's very secure to me. And if you're, and you know, it's funny, like up until I read this article, I thought that, you know, I might purchase a Liberty safe because, I mean, you can shoot them with a tank and they won't come open. But they will come open if Liberty safe gives your access code. So just real quick from the article. A prominent gun safe company has come under fire after admitting that it voluntarily provided the access code for a customer to the FBI. Liberty Safe's attempt to explain why the company readily surrendered a January 6th protester's code has not gone over well, prompting critics to threaten giving the company the Bud Light treatment. In my not so humble opinion, my friends, you should absolutely do that to Liberty Safe. Now, I'm not saying go blow up your safe, but just be aware that if you're charged with a serious crime and the FBI is coming after you, well, then you may not want to put any incriminating stuff. You shouldn't have incriminating stuff anyway. But if you don't, put it in your Liberty safe. Now, the last one that I want to tell you about, and this one is on a totally different subject than the rest of the stuff we've talked about on today's program. But I saw this morning and I absolutely had to bring it to your attention. And what it is there was a speech given by Palestinian leader. I don't know if he's president. Yeah, Palestinian president Mahmoud Abbas. And he said that Hitler was not an anti-Semite and the Jews deserved it. Okay, so this is really important, my friends. If you know people that are on the left and are supporting Palestinians, you really need to bring this to their attention because I don't know a single person that believes this bullcrap. But let me just read you exactly what this guy said. I mean, this is going to the bone. And, you know, so I'll probably get censored for saying this, but here we go. Quote, this is Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinians. They say that Hitler killed the Jews for being Jews and that Europe hated the Jews because they were Jews.
It's not true. It was clearly explained that Europeans fought the Jews because of their social role and not their religion. Several authors wrote about this. Even Karl Marx said this was not true. He said that the enmity was not directed at Judaism as a religion, but to Judaism for its social role. The Europeans fought against these people because of their role in society, which had to do with usury, money, and so on and so forth. Holy crap, my friends. Now, if you thought the world was going off the rails before, this is a pretty good indication that it's far more off, far further along going off the rails than any of us had imagined. But I wanted to bring this to your attention because even in Wyoming, we have leftists in Wyoming, and you know, many of them, they're good people. They just, you know, they're wrongheaded or they're ignorant or they don't know what the truth is. And a lot of these folks just listen to MSNBC and CNN and they just take that as the truth. And it's not the truth. Israel is President Joe Biden. Israel has been the longest standing ally next to Great Britain that the United States has. They've stood with us in everything. And we absolutely have to stand with them. There are groups in this world that want to destroy America, and they want to destroy Israel along with them. Iran, the Palestinians, there's a bunch of them in the world. But when you see things like this come up in the news, you have to pay attention to it because it's a big red flag of what's happening in the world. And a lot of this stuff is a direct result of the people who are in power right now, the elites. You know, you notice that you didn't see all of this stuff coming out when Donald Trump was president, did you? Well, no, because they didn't know what Donald Trump was going to do to them if they did take this posture. But what I'm telling you, my friends, is be aware of the things that come that are happening in your state and what you're seeing in the mainstream media, and be critical of them. You know, words mean things, and when guys like Mahmoud Abbas say that, you know, Hitler wasn't an anti-Semite, you should really pay attention to it. When Mike Pence says that populism is the same as being on the left, you should pay attention to what he says. When the redcoats down in Cheyenne say that they're the conservative ones, you should pay attention because words mean things. All right. Thanks for sticking with me a little bit longer on the program. That'll do it for today. From the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm. And this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.